Hey guys, and thanks for watching IED Sports. I'm Bob. This is Alex. We're going to talk about the week in MLS soccer news, and then we're going to make predictions for the week ahead. Thank you for joining us here at IED Sports. Alex, we're back. We're talking MLS, and there's only one story that's on the headline of every major news source. Pity Martinez sold for $18 million.
Saudi Arabia team came in. Al Nassr. No, I'm not very familiar with Saudi Arabia soccer. Remember Giovinco, I do believe, was sold there a couple years ago for a nice profit for Toronto. $18 million, I think. Atlanta paid up to $16 million, so they made a little bit of profit on it. Things weren't working out. I mean, De Boer was a disaster. You see, Pete's confidence was not there. He does not show the signs of being, you know, the one-time South American player of the year. Doesn't seem too happy here playing on turf. You know,
he looked better in that last game for sure. And I guess that was the final thing that everyone needed to see. And I think we can actually chalk his, I'm not going to call it a failure, but his time in MLS up to Frank DeBoer just wanted him to play a system that he did not want to play. When you bring these guys in for a lot of money from South America that are established in their position, you got to play them in the position. You got to let them play the ball they want, and they're going to be successful for you. So Atlanta, again, kind of showing the path to making big money overseas. And that was the big story that we had for this week.
I, you know, they made money on it. It didn't work out, and they're still making a profit. I'm surprised they even got anything out of it. I didn't think they'd get what they paid for them, so that's a good move by Atlanta. You know they're going to be out in the link with somebody else very soon. They're not going to sit back and just play with this roster they have now, so we're going to have to stay tuned and see what they do.
Absolutely. In other news around the MLS, Gonzalo Higuain is rumored to be moving to MLS. Teams that are interested could be Miami, DC United, and Atlanta, although I think Miami and DC United are kind of the two top dogs for that fight. But that's as of this morning. Things just changed by $18 million, Alex.
Well, yeah, and I think DC United also dropped their discovery claim today, so they will not be interested in signing him. So now I think it's down to Inter Miami and Atlanta. I hear his preference is Inter Miami. Again, David Beckham with the name, brand recognition, you know, South Beach, what's not to like. The guy's had a stellar career. River Plate, Real Madrid, Napoli, Juventus, World Cups, Copa Americas, Premier League. And this guy's, you know, he's a sniper. He's a great player.
People around soccer know that I'm kind of new to the MLS game, but the truths are the same for every sport. And I talk about football all the time. Now we're talking about MLS. Guess what happened? Last week on this show, I told you Blaise Matuidi was going to set the path for other superstars to come to MLS. He's that kind of supporting player that other players get to play with. Well, guess who played with Blaise Matuidi in Juventus? Gonzalo Higuain. Guess where Blaise Matuidi is now? In Miami. There's no coincidence that these players are connected.
And South Beach is a, you know, you're making you know, 7-8 figures. South Beach is a very nice place to end your career in MLS. Now, a lot of people think it's a retirement league. Higuain's got plenty left in the tank. This guy could score. I mean, you know, you don't start. He starts for Juventus. I mean, come on. So you know, he's going to come here. He's going to be a difference maker.
31 goals and 75 appearances for Argentina, 3 World Cup tournaments, 3 Copa America tournaments, played for River Plate, Real Madrid, Napoli, Juventus. He's got gas in the tank. He's on the wrong side of 30, but not by much. Definitely has something to bring to this squad. I kind of hope that he lands in Miami, and I think Blaise Matuidi may have been the trailblazer to get Gonzalo there because Beckham knows what he's doing.
Pizarro needs a lot of help. He's always double teamed. He's been fouled like crazy in MLS. You know, right now he's like so happy to get this guy. Because he's playing with Robbie Robertson up front. I mean, who would you rather play with up front? I mean, this is a no brainer. Again, David Beckham swinging for defenses, and he looks like he's going to get the guy.
Also, to mention, there was a write up on Pellegrini and all the attention Pellegrini has been struggling with. This is going to open up the field a lot if you have him up top.
Inside the box, Higuain is deadly. Inside the box, Higuain is deadly. This is a big move by Inter Miami. The whole world's taking notice, and that's good by MLS.
Another story that we talked about a lot in the last couple of weeks has been seemingly confirmed by Coach Luchi Gonzalez from FC Dallas. Reggie Cannon is on his way out. He will not be playing in the meantime. Last week's game, he was there. He was in the stands to root on his team. He didn't even suit up. There are some places where we think he's going, but the news is just he's on his way out.
Yes, the news has changed again today, Bob. I didn't mean to interrupt you. It looked like he was going to Boa Vista, and that owner of that team also owns Lille in France, where Timothy Weah plays. As of yesterday, it seemed like he was going to go to Boa Vista. Now today, there's signs that he's going to go to Lille and maybe get loaned to Boa Vista. So, again, I think it's a $3 million fee if you can get for Reggie Cannon. Again, Dallas has been known to produce a lot of young talent. This is a good move for Reggie Cannon, for his, especially to get some good playing time. And Portuguese league is excellent. The French league is, you know, top three in the world. So it's a good move by them. You know, the Reggie Cannon, he said he's wanted to play in Europe and see how good he can get. It's a good move by him. Playing for Boa Vista in a mid-table Portuguese team, that is a tough physical league. He's only going to get better playing there.
And that'll throw him right on top of the U.S. men's national team radar for some caps coming up. Bad news on the U.S. men's national team front and on the FC Dallas front. Lucci also confirmed in the same interview that Paxton Kapamakal may miss the rest of the season with an injury. He missed time last year with a hernia. This time it's his hip. Looks like it might be the end of the season for Paxton Kapamakal, who is just really exciting to watch, but we can't get enough in the literal sense that we just don't see him enough games on the field.
Yeah, last year was a hernia. I think this is also some kind of issue, hernia, a core muscle injury, hip, something like that. It's I'm hearing it's 6 months minimum recovery if he goes under the knife. He's trying to fight it with rehab. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's going under the knife, and that's a big loss for Dallas. Again, Dallas Academy is tremendous. Someone else is going to come up. It's next man up for them. You know, they've struggled early in the year, but this past week they had a pretty good game against Minnesota with 3-1 win, so maybe things are looking up for them.
Absolutely. 3-1 win where the hero was Fafa Pico. So, you know,
who just got hurt is questionable tonight. So another thing to overcome for them.
A team known for youth and depth is not looking particularly young or deep. But, you know, they're going to come up with something. They're going to figure it out before the season's end. And we're going to just an exciting team to watch. You're not going to watch big names, big brand names, but you're watching, when you watch FC Dallas, you watch the development of American soccer. I kind of feel that way.
You know, Jesus Ferreira and Ricardo Pepi, they're both under 20 years old. Expect them to have big roles, to score some goals for Dallas. We'll talk about them a little later.
Minnesota United is making splashes in the transfer news. I'm going to leave you to talk about that story today.
Yeah, a big signing, a number 10, a playmaker from Boca Juniors just came in over. Reynoso, this is a big signing for the league. I think he's a top 10 player. Anytime you get a playmaker that's played the number 10 for a Boca Juniors, a world-known Argentinian powerhouse, yes, that wants to come to MLS, this is a big move. You know, I've really liked Minnesota. They have their midfield general, Jan Gregus, now can just play a little more defensive. This is a big move. It's a big-time move by MLS to get these kind of players. You want to see this. You know, it wasn't cheap. It was millions of dollars. I don't know the exact figure off the top of my head, but this is a big move for Minnesota United. They should be very excited about the Zoom, and I can't wait to see him play.
Absolutely. It's kind of, we're at the point in MLS, and this seems kind of weird to say, when you hear of a new South American player signing, you kind of ask yourself, oh, well, how many times did he win South American Player of the Year? You know, that's the kind of level of guys we're bringing up here in the last couple of years, and that's going to be exciting for Minnesota United.
And it's a great move. You saw this. Atlanta's been doing this. You're getting a South American player at X amount of dollars. He comes here to dominate. Then you sell him over to Europe. Almiron, for example, went to Newcastle. Atlanta made a nice profit on that. Reynoso's doing the same thing. Some of these South American players can't jump right to Europe. They're using the MLS as a springboard. I think this is a great idea, and I think it's going to work. And I cannot wait to see Minnesota United with him in the midfield.
And before we jump into games from last week, we do want to mention this was the week of the teenage U.S. men's team.
What a week.
Ugh. All over. There were exciting games, exciting goals, lots of drama, lots of teenagers starting. I like the start your kids mentality. And in this shortened season where you're playing Wednesday and Sunday every week.
You need a bench.
And in this MLS, your bench is made up of kids. It's academy players, young guys.
Salary cap has a lot to do with it, too.
16-year-old Cade Cowell.
He does not look like 16. I mean, this kid is, I don't know if you saw the goal. He's like, what a goal he scored at the top of the box, curled into the right-hand corner. To me, he looks like he's 23 years old. I can't believe he's only 16. I did not know much about him until I saw this. I was like, wow. Remember, we were watching MLS's back to Orlando. He came in off the bench, and he said it was 16. I remember texting him, like, Bob, they said this kid is 16. I mean, you cannot be serious.
Yeah. He was 154 pounds, which is about MLS size. It's like,
yeah, he's only going to get bigger. Yeah. He's still growing. Yeah. I mean, that right foot, the curling thing, he looked like a veteran there. And you definitely got to keep an eye on him. There's a bunch of players we're going to talk about that this weekend was the teenage sensation. Kevin Paredes on DC was excellent. Ricardo Pepi and FC Dallas are fun. These two guys are only 17 years old. George Bellalante is 18 years old. Gianluca Busio, again, we keep talking about him. What a goal he scored this week for Sporting Kansas City. He's only 18.
Busio, for me, is showing that he is an absolute class player. For me, what I want to see from Busio is him to do it every game. He's had a lot of opportunity. He hasn't done quite as much with it as you might like, but hopefully as he matures and gets into it, he's doing the same level of play all time. His first game last year, didn't he score? He was like one of the youngest players in the academy.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but last year they had him up as forward. Now they have him as midfield, and he's been spraying the ball around the field. He looks like a future midfield star. I mean, you can hear Fiorentina, I think, has been looking at him in Italy. So, I mean, the sky's the limit for this kid. I really like him. There's others, too. Brendan Aaronson continues to play great midfield for Philadelphia. Any day now, I know he's going to jump to Europe.
His name, I believe, is Bundesliga Aaronson.
Yeah, right. We heard that Frankie Maia in Cincinnati. Cole Bass had a great goal for Colorado this week. He's only 19 years old. Jesus Ferrer is only 19 for Dallas. All these guys, they made a major mark in MLS this past week. I think you're going to see a lot of this going into the end of the season with the three games in 9 days, two games in 7 days. You're going to use your bench. You're going to bring the academy guys to give these guys a chance. They're getting experience. They're getting confidence. They're attacking, playing soccer. This is real exciting for MLS and the future of U.S. national team.
And just because there's some young guys playing for MLS teams, don't automatically take it as that's thrown in a loss. I'll never forget when Red Bulls was at 2 years ago when we had that amazing crop of young talent. We threw the baby bulls out. I think it was 7 academy players on the field for that one game, and they won what, like 4-1.
We played Chelsea, and when Chelsea came here, we played all the Chelsea academy too, talent. Ty Rams as a 16-year-old scored in that game. I mean, you saw Jose Mourinho had his head down, like, whoa, who are these guys? It's exciting to see. I mean, there's other youngsters too. We won Daryl Deacon in Orlando, Akinola in Toronto. These guys are under 20 years old. They're forwards for the United States national team. They're handfuls in the box. They can score with their back to the goal. This is exciting time for U.S. soccer. A lot of the pundits were, disappointed we didn't make the World Cup. We got a lot of young talent. Now Berhalter's just got to know how to put it all together and put the best 11 guys in the best 18-man roster. We got a lot of candidates here. I'm interested to see how he's going to handle this.
Now we're shooting out content. This is a Wednesday. It may be Thursday before some of you are watching, but it's kind of hard because there's Wednesday games and Sunday games for the next few weeks. There's a lot of weekend stuff, a lot of weird stuff going on. So there were a lot of great soccer games. There are only two that we really want to talk about today, just because we don't want to talk about Sunday because that was like 2 match days ago. And this, we're just kind of in limbo here. So we're going to talk about a couple of really good games that happened over this weekend. And then we're going to just make predictions for the game on Wednesday night. The first game I really want to talk about, Philly 4, DC United 1, a blowout, just an absolute massacre amongst two teams who are supposed to know each other pretty well.
Kasper Schmelko, 2 goals, 1 assist. Looks like he's heating up. He won MLS Player of the Week. He was just, DC had no chance. I mean, DC United has lost 6 in a row. They're starting to play some youngsters. Again, Ben Olsen. My thoughts on Ben Olsen, he still has a job. But it seems like now they're going to just go with the youth way. I think they're going to just – the season is shot for DC United. They're going to play their young guys and see what happens. Maybe Ben Olsen can develop some of these guys and bring a new coach in next year. Schmelko, Aaronson, Sergio Santos up top was dangerous. They could have scored 5, 6, 7 goals in this game. Philly Union, again, continues to impress. 4-1 in this game, and it wasn't even that close.
Absolutely. Is Ben Olsen the Jason Garrett of MLS?
He seems to be.
He's recognizable. He's kind of looks like
he played for DC United. He's a the workman type. Remember U.S. national team. As a player, they love him in DC United. But as a coach, his results are if I would put my money on the first coach to get fired, it would be Ben Olsen right now.
You need to rip off the Band-Aid like Mike Petke. Just ruthless. Right. I'm at his summer house. Tell him he's done. Okay. Seattle also put it on LAFC with a 3-1 win. Lots of great play in that game by both sides. Not necessarily a game that seemed one-sided as the result might show. LAFC played well, but Seattle is just the class of the league. They showed why they won the cup last year, and they put it on LAFC.
Rui Diaz, end of the first half, that 40-yard turnaround blast with the goalie just looked over his shoulder in the upper right-hand corner. I mean, if you can YouTube that, guys, check that goal out. But it was fantastic. And then Jordan Morris in the second half had 2 goals in 1 minute, a tie MLS record, both just fantastic, hitting on the counter, just clinical finishing. I mean, again, Lodero, Morris, Rui Diaz, you're not going to find a better 3 in MLS together. Again, they're going to be an MLS Cup contender. My question is, with the injuries, they may not have a deep bench. Seattle, if they get a couple injuries to the top 3, they're going to have some trouble. But right now, they're hitting on all cylinders, and they're fun to watch.
Absolutely, absolutely. Seattle, of course, just again.
LAFC. I didn't mean to cut you. LAFC's defense is just Swiss bad. Cheese. Bob Bradley looks so angry. I don't know what they're going to do. You know, Walker Zimmerman, they never should have got rid of him. Everyone knows that. He's playing well for Nashville. They could have used him in the back. They definitely got to solidify that back line. LAFC, you know, no Carlos Vela is a big loss. You know, Diego Rossi again scores again, leads MLS in goals, but they need help, and it's in the back. And if they don't fix that, LAFC will not go far to barely make the playoffs to be out in the first round.
Absolutely. They should have there should be a Twitter account for Bob Bradley's vein.
I would not want to be in that locker room at halftime or, you know, after the Rui Diaz goal or after this game. I mean, you can see he's getting very frustrated on the sidelines, angry. One of these days they're going to blow somebody out 4-5-0 and, you know, things are going to get better. But until that time comes, that defense has got to step up. It is weak. It is bad. It is Swiss cheese. They got to stop the bleeding.
11 games tonight. That is
wow.
Tonight, right? Wednesday tonight. And then there's, I think, another 12 or 13 this weekend. So we're just going to give you some quick predictions. First game up, Atlanta versus Miami. Atlanta has had its struggles. They did sell a player this week. Miami had been pretty bad for a while, but they just got off one of their first wins of the season. So it seems like two teams may be trending in different directions. I'm actually going to go against popular thought, and I'm going to take Miami here. They might be getting Matuidi in tonight. We don't know if he's going to be in the starting roster. They're putting things together while Atlanta is intentionally taking things apart. It's going to be a great game. It's going to be a little closer than I think people realize. For that reason, I bet Atlanta is plus money, and my money is going to go on Miami.
I'm with you on this one. You know, they just sold arguably their best player, PT Martinez. Jose Martinez is still out. John up front is a disaster. I expect to see Jurgen Damm start today, and I expect Kubo Torres to come in for Atlanta, give a little spark, but that's not going to be enough. Inter Miami's got a buzz with them going on. Matuidi now with Higuain. I'm going to take, and this guy potentially be a great rival in MLS. I'm going to take Inter Miami in a 2-1 game.
Good stuff. Moving on, Cincinnati versus Chicago, two teams no one really wants to watch, and that I'm not really interested in.
I like Chicago probably a little more than you do. I know they just beat them 3-1 last week, whatever it was. Chicago is flying under the radar for me. I like them a lot. Again, you saw what Cincinnati did to Columbus this week. They parked the bus, got out of there with a 0-0 game. They're going to do the same. Can Chicago break it down? I think they will. They get a goal and they're going to win this game 1-0.
All right, then we're going to head on to Red Bull against DC United, two teams that have not put it together in quite some time. This may actually be, and these are two teams that play each other very hard, one of the games to tune out.
Well, Red Bulls, you know, we talked about this. Can't get scoring from their forwards. I think they have 0 on the year. But DC United has just lost 6 straight. I know it's a rivalry game, but Red Bull should win this game. They should win this game 1-0.
Red Bull is minus 170. DC United is plus 400. So they're long odds on DC. Might be worth taking the juice. Next up, Columbus versus Philadelphia. This is the game to watch. Columbus,
yes.
The greatest roster. Philadelphia has been putting it together, playing great. Shabilko or Zardes? Who's taking it home tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to have to. Columbus last week, they tied Cincinnati in the Hell is Real. You know, is that the name of the derby? I forgot.
Yeah,
0-0. So they're a little down, and Philadelphia's on a high, destroying DC 4-1. For that reason, I'm going to take Columbus 1-0 to eke this one out, or 2-1, something like that. I'm going to take Columbus.
Philadelphia is plus 360, so long odds to win.
At Columbus, again, you know, no fans. I think sometimes you got to throw the odds until you get fans in the window, but I think Columbus is going to bounce back with a win here.
New England versus NYCFC, and very interesting, both teams are plus money. New England plus 140, New York City FC plus 160, so it's your call. Pick a winner.
If you can bet a tie, I would take a tie in this one.
You could bet a tie. Hold on. The tie would be...
I would take a tie in this one.
Plus 240.
To me, it feels like a tie in this game. No Hill for New England is a problem, but they still got Gustavo Bo. New York City looked good against Chicago last week at their new home, Red Bull Arena. Playing at the turf in New England. I'm going to take either a tie. I would take New England with an eke-out win on this one. I think Bruce Arena is finally back, and if he's definitely back, let's go with New England on this.
Houston Dynamo versus Minnesota United. That's a good game too. Both teams are plus money. Plus 125 for Houston, which is the favorites. Plus 170 for Minnesota, who are the underdogs.
Albert Elise is linked to also go to Boa Vista in Portugal, so I don't know if he's going to play tonight. Minnesota's got that, you know, Reynoso, the signing. They should be really high on this. I know last week Houston had a huge game. Tyrone was the first one. Had a lot of goals, but Minnesota lost 3-1. So because of that, I know the game's in Houston. It's probably going to be like 95 degrees. I'm going to take Minnesota on the road in this one, 1-0.
Nashville and Orlando play. Orlando is a slight, very, very slight favorite in this matchup.
I know Nashville. I watched that game last week when they played at home. They didn't look that bad, really.
They have some good players, but here's the question for me.
Scoring.
Is Orlando's Cinderella story over?
No, not this week. They're going to be they're too much talent. Nani, he sat the bench last game. I think he'll start today. And Daryl DK has been a revelation. This guy can score. Orlando's going to outscore Nashville 2-1.
Now, this is an interesting game. It's a team we've talked about quite a bit. Sporting KC against FC Dallas. Right now, Kansas City is a heavy favorite, -135. FC Dallas +320. Triple your money.
Tough call. Dallas, too many injuries. Pomacal, Pico, Cannon's gone.
Reggie Cannon's gone.
You know, Sporting KC just got smacked when they gave up 5 goals last week in the game. And Busio's been playing well. I'm going to take Sporting Kansas City home this game 2-1.
RSL versus the Seattle Sounders. I love Seattle anytime I can get them. And ironically, in this game, guess what? Seattle is the underdog. They're +185. You can almost double your money betting on Seattle. And that's what I will be doing.
I know Real Salt Lake's got the ownership problems with the racism and all that. So that's a dark cloud over to the team. However, they played well last week, and Krylik had that karate kick type goal the second time. It was great. I mean, it was just, if you could, YouTube that, it was fantastic. You know, this is a game where you can see Seattle dropping points because at Real Salt Lake, the altitude, travel, I think they can have fans there. You know, I'm going to go with the upset here. I'm going to go Seattle just to smoke LAFC, so they're going to go on a down. I'm taking too many road teams. So for that reason, I'm going to take Real Salt Lake in an upset, 1-0.
Now, RSL is not in an upset. They're heavy, heavy favorites in this game.
On paper, you would think Seattle's got the better roster, but since they're home, I'm going to take Real Salt Lake in this game.
It's almost like those Vegas guys know what they're doing, right?
Yeah, right.
Portland plays against the LA Galaxy 10:30 today. That is the late game for those of you staying up. Portland is almost even money. LA Galaxy is +195, a heavy underdog. I got to go home team whenever it's Portland.
I'm going to go same thing with Portland. That old Galaxy's been playing better. They beat LAFC not too long ago. But Portland, Sebastian Blanco, Valeri, at home, the turf, Galaxy, to me, they're still, Pavone has been played well. Chicharito, I don't think, is back. So I'm going to take with Portland this one.
And the last game, LAFC versus San Jose. San Jose is even money, +110. Looking at the wrong date now. San Jose LAFC. Sorry, there they are. LAFC is -210. San Jose disrespected +410. 4-1.
LAFC has been dropping a lot of games. Will they continue? I love San Jose. I like their coach. But LAFC's got to snap out of it. I'm going to think this is the game. I'm going to take LAFC in this game. But at the same time, if I'm betting, I'm not touching this game. It would not surprise me if San Jose just put 3 on the board.
San Jose, Earthquakes, and the draw is +150, so you can get...
That sounds a little more reasonable. I can definitely see a tie in this kind of matchup.
Good stuff. A lot of great night for watching some MLS games.
It's got to be a record, 11 games on a Wednesday night. I mean, that's crazy.
We're going to see a lot of that coming up because guess what's coming up? NFL football, and MLS does not want to have games on Sunday during NFL season. So I'm going to expect these midweek games to really, really blow up over the next few weeks. And we're here on Wednesday. So how convenient is that, Alex?
That's tremendous. I mean, we got Nation Leagues now is coming. I think you got Germany, Spain playing tomorrow. If you're into international soccer, that's starting. I mean, soccer's on TV every day of the week now. This is, the Premier League is about to start. The French League starting. Bundesliga is coming. And we're going to talk about it all right here.
Thank you for joining us at ID Sports.